On February 28th, unknown arsonists threw six Molotov cocktails at the Black Cultural Center in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia. 5 weeks later, it is believed that the offices of the Black Loyalist Heritage Society in Birchtown, Nova Scotia, just outside of Shelburne, was burned to the ground, also by arsonists. Among the items lost were genealogical records tracing the history of residence of one of North America's first settlements of free blacks, which was established around the areas of Shelburne and Birchtown between 1783 and 1784. CKDU Radio presents this interview with Sharon Oliver, a founding member of the Black Loyalist Heritage Society. Oliver speaks candidly about the history of racism in Nova Scotia, as well as its continuing legacy in such recent attacks upon cultural landmarks of the Black Nova Scotian community. I guess I'll just sort of start off by asking you to state your name and what I guess your position is within the Black Loyalist Heritage Society.
Okay. I'm Sharon Oliver, and I am currently a board member of the Black Loyalist Heritage Society, but prior to that, a decade ago, I was engaged by them as a consultant to develop the plan to work with them to develop a plan that develops their heritage site, on the development of their heritage site, and we did a strategic plan as a result of that. What you see now in terms of Black Loyalists being on the lips of Nova Scotians and Canadians, a term that had not been known before, the work has been very engaging, it's been very successful, the culmination of the acquisition of the history, the genealogy, and heritage artifacts of the Black Loyalists dating back to 1783 has just been an amazing piece of work. That site is now a National Historic Site, designated, recognizing the Black Loyalists who arrived there in 1783 as freed Black slaves and freedmen.
It's been reported, of course, that the office of the Heritage Society was destroyed on March 31st. I'd just like to know what's known about what happened that night, from your perspective.
I think I'd like to go a little beyond that.
Mm-hmm, sure.
I am certainly a board member, but I'm not on the executive, and I'm not prepared to speak for the president or the vice president. But I would like to put together a picture of what's going on in Nova Scotia, and ending with that. I'm very, very concerned about the accelerated acts of violence that are targeting African Nova Scotians institutions. Several years ago, several years ago, the Provincial Archives of Nova Scotia discovered someone who was destroying the documents of African Nova Scotians. I never saw it in the newspaper. Most African Nova Scotians didn't know about it. And so if it was reported in the press, the term, the nature of the documents or the targeted group was not ever published. A couple years ago, a year and a half ago, we did learn of the Victoria Road United Baptist Church, the pastor of which, who was a target of assault and threats of death. The woman was identified and charged with a hate crime, and she admitted that she was a member of the Ku Klux Klan. You know, I haven't had time this week to go back into the, you know, to get the actual dates, but it was about a year and a half or 2 years ago. Victoria Road United Baptist Church, and it was well published. February 27th of this year, the Black Cultural Center was the target, at 4 o'clock in the morning, was the target of an assault of six Molotov cocktails being thrown from the road at the building. The Black Cultural Center is a beautiful brick building in Dartmouth and Westfall, as you know. Two of them managed to break the window and enter into the building, setting off a small fire that causing $1,500 worth of damage. There was a postage stamp kind of, in one newspaper, press release, reporting on that incident. Exactly a month later, on March 31st, we have this burning or this torching of the Black Loyalist Heritage Society in Birchtown, Nova Scotia. Now, what I know from that incident was there was a car. It's one road, and there are three buildings that make up the, and a marker, a National Historic Marker, and a Black burial ground that make up the exhibit site of the Black Loyalists right now. The newest building is a replica of an 18th century building. It's wood, and it was the office building where all the planning and archival documentation was held. Also, the genealogical database was held in that building. This strange car was seen cruising up and down the road at various intervals during the evening, and at one point, a neighbor who lives across the road reported that he heard an alarm. He heard the alarm go off. It was a security alarm. He then saw a flash of light from the deck. I don't believe he saw somebody running, but he heard the car squealing tires running from there, and then he saw the flames engulfing the building. Of course, the building was then engulfed in flames. The report of the fire marshal, as reported in the newspaper now, he has said that there was accelerant on the deck and of the building, which obviously caused the building to go up, which is very suggestive of arson.
You've been very outspoken, I guess, in talking about this is a pattern of events that have occurred over the last...
I'm concerned about the pattern. You're absolutely correct, Eva. I mean, the pattern has accelerated in Nova Scotia. It's a pattern of racism. The media is very reluctant to use the word racism, except when they're quoting somebody like me. All right? But why not? I mean, the institutional targets of the African Nova Scotians, you know, the Black Cultural Center, the Black Loyalist Heritage Society, the United Church, the Baptist Church, and the archives, the provincial archives, destroying African Nova Scotia data. There can be no other explanation but racism. They didn't target Lewisburg. They didn't target the Nova Scotia Museum. They didn't target the Ross Museum in Shelburne. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it is acts of violence that are going that are against the African Nova Scotians, and I am very concerned. And these institutions are the very core of our identity. African Nova Scotians are very, it's the church, it's the cultural center where we are developing and preserving our cultural heritage, and the Black Loyalist Society, where the identity of Black Loyalists is now emerging through the genealogical database and other historical facts. It hurts. It hurts badly. My questions, there's just an array of questions. Who is doing this? Is it a group? Is there an active KKK in Nova Scotia? I don't know. I mean, one woman was charged with, you know, she said she was a member of the KKK. Is she there alone? Is it a group of people who are just anti-Black, or individuals who are anti-Black? Then why are they doing this? I don't for a moment think that it's one individual doing all things. I believe it's an individual, or there's a mindset or an attitude against Blacks by some people here, and if one person can get away with it, then why can't I do it? Why is the media unwilling to identify these acts as acts of racism or hate crimes? And why are African Nova Scotians so silent about this? Why are we not speaking out publicly and saying, this is something that is totally unacceptable? It is unacceptable. The new prime minister said, let's get tough on crime. Well, let's get tough on crime. This is unacceptable. We want some strong investigative journalism, somebody who's going to be a champion for the African Nova Scotians and get down to the core of this. And we want some very, very tough investigations on the criminal scene. So That's where I am. That's my concern, is the accelerated, the pattern that it seems to be forming. And, you know, if it, if we don't speak out as African Nova Scotians and say this is unacceptable and something must be done, then we have acquiesced to it. And if we've acquiesced to it, then it's okay, there's going to be more.
But in terms of the police response, has there really been a tendency to view this event as something that's totally isolated, or as part of, connected to other other events of hate crime that have occurred in the past in Nova Scotia?
I can't answer that. You'd have to ask the police, the varying police forces. I know the RCMP in Shelburne have worked very hard on this case and are still working very hard in this case, and they're working very closely with the society. The volunteer fire department in Shelburne was absolutely remarkable. You know, I don't think we can thank them enough for the kinds of things that they did, risking life and limb. I understand the chief of police asked one of the Black Loyalist residents there, "What? I've got about 3 minutes to get in and get out. What's in there that you absolutely need?" And on the wall in the boardroom was an original map, land grant map called the Goulden Map, dating back to 1783, which assigned the land grants to the Black Loyalists, and it was an original map. It can't be reproduced. And she said, the map, and if you can get the computers, get the computers. So he went in and did get the map, and he got the computers out, which are very, very badly damaged, and we have to wait to see whether anything is recoverable from them. So, I mean, can't speak enough about the actions of both the fire and the RCMP, but I'm more concerned now about the pattern and whether there's a strategy among the RCMP and the police forces to take a look at this pattern and see what they can find out. You know?
Okay.
Incident by incident is not good enough right now for me.
Okay.
I want to take a look at the pattern and identify causes.
The settlement that was established in 1783 near where the office once stood has been described as the largest settlement of free blacks outside of Africa.
That's correct.
Can you talk a little bit about the significance of I guess that statement, and maybe talk a little bit about the background to this settlement?
Well, it is the oldest and largest black settlement outside of Africa in 1783. It was the Black Loyalists who were soldiers during the Revolutionary War who fought for Britain, Great Britain, and we lost the war along with the Empire Loyalists, as you know, and in that struggle they were promised, if you fight for Great Britain, if King George, you will receive land. And many of these folks understood the value of land and took up arms and fought with King George against the rebels. When the war was lost, the soldiers and some of the blacks were invited to board the ship along with the Empire Loyalists to Nova Scotia and to New Brunswick, and the first ship that landed was that in Nova Scotia at Shelburne in 1783. And there's an amazing story told by Dr. Jim Walker in his Black Loyalist in Nova Scotia, Sierra Leone, historical treatise that describes those events and the subsequent events in Nova Scotia. We didn't learn about that. I'm 60 years old, all right? And we didn't learn about that in our history. You know, and I'm sure, I don't know how old you are, but it isn't until recently, in the last 15 years, that the story of African Nova Scotians emerges as you know, one of the founding settlers. We hear about the Acadians and certainly the First Nations and the British and the Celtic, but the African was among the founding settlers and has never been given recognition for that in Canada.
So
that's the significance of the Black Willow Society. Also, prior to the arrival of the Black Loyalists, there were African settlers here already. There were slaves in Nova Scotia. And there were slaves in Shelburne, there were slaves in Hilton, there were slaves in Cape Breton. It was a fact. you know, this kind of documentation just hasn't been exposed. It hasn't been taught in schools. Now, this history is part of the work of the Black Loyalist Society to aggregate it and get it exposed into a physical display for educational, public educational purposes, and have somebody who either doesn't want this exposed or is so absolutely racist that just can't tolerate the idea of the emergence of Black history is just total. It's alarming to me, and it's totally unacceptable.
Now, a couple of years after 1783, there was, as you've likely written about, the first example of a race riot in the history of North America.
Yes, well, this is after the arrival in Shelburne, of course, and if we can put ourselves in the shoes of the Loyalists and the Black Loyalists, it must have been absolutely chaotic to come to the shores of Shelburne with nothing, you know. And the land grants were distributed by rank and file, so the highest commanding officers got their first grants, and then, you know, we go down from there. So therefore, the bottom of the granting phase were obviously the Blacks and also the white lowest commission or non-commissioned sailors, I guess you would call them. And those folks worked for the persons who had received their land grants and clearing their land and building their houses as they awaited for their grants to be applied. Here again, putting ourselves in those shoes, historically, supply ships were coming from Great Britain, but I guess they were coming few and far between. And if supplies and food and money ran out, the landowners were employing blacks at a greater rate than they were employing whites because they were cheaper.
Mm-hmm.
They were less expensive. It was less expensive labor. The white laborers got furious at the blacks, actually, for accepting such low wages that they tore down their temporary shanties that they put up for shelter and began an actual physical fight for 10 days, and ran them out of Shelburne into that community we now know as Birchtown. And that's where the Black Loyalists settled in community in Birchtown. And actually, if you really want to go a step further, it probably became the first known segregated community in Canada and may have well been the beginning of segregation.
You've been listening to a special CKDU interview with Sharon Oliver, a member of the Black Loyalist Heritage Society. For more information, you can get in touch with or contribute to the Black Loyalist Heritage Society by phoning 875-4213, or to make a direct donation, you could send a check to Box 1194 Shelburne, B0T1W0. This interview has been produced by CKDU Radio in Halifax, Nova Scotia.